There's so much misinformation out there. You overpronate and you might need a stability shoe. If anyone's ever told you running's bad for your knees, slap them.
No offense to all the runners out there, but you're all pretty challenged.
Physical bent. Post run beer is one of the best beers you'll ever have.
You never feel shit after a run.
You'll get fit, you'll get strong, you'll get healthy.
Running is fucking awesome. Hi Mike, I'm Dutch. I work as a massage therapist.
My name's Pat. I'm a running coach, physio. I'm an avid runner myself. We thought we'd call the podcast That's Running.
Hey, we're back. We're on. Mike Woo! And Patty here in your ears. Mike's pumped. How good is podcasting?
Podcasting is the best. I love it.
We're doing this one via Zoom because we're not side by side today, but me and Mike are doing the same shit at the moment. We're training for ultras, aren't we?
It's cool. Well, I'm sitting on my couch at the moment, but yeah.
You're resting and recovering, which is very
important. Oh, yes, that's it. Yes, resting and recovering.
Yeah, absolutely. So I went for a big old bush run up on the Blue Mountains on Sunday. And yep. We got to a river crossing, which was neck deep. And there's Mike standing on the other side of the river, dripping wet, being like, hey, bro. And we just like bumped into each other in the middle of the Blue Mountains, either side of a neck deep river.
It was a good swim. It was fun.
It was a good swim.
Because it was the 6-foot river crossing. And in the race, I've crossed many times before. And you're sort of, you know, hip deep, maybe a little bit deep. And you just walk through and it's fine. And I started walking in. I was like, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah. And I started walking further. I was like, okay, right. And at some point, I couldn't touch the bottom. I was like, all right, yeah, we're swimming. That's fine.
Swimming now. It's quite funny. It was just hilarious that we happened to be on the same trail on the same day at the same time within 5 minutes of each other. And had a good chat and then ran off in different directions. It's cool. So we're both training for the 6-foot ultra marathon, which is 6 weeks away, 5.5 weeks away, right?
Yep.
Yeah, so it's my favorite race, like, ever. I love it.
It's such a good race.
This will be the sixth time I've done it. So I think we've talked about it heaps before, but it's 45-kilometre trail. It's in the Blue Mountains, so like 2 hours outside of Sydney. And it's a point-to-point 45K race. So we know a marathon is 42Ks, 640 is 45Ks, so it's only 3Ks longer. To give you an idea, if you want an estimation of your 6-foot finish time, you take your marathon time and you add 50%. So if you're a 3-hour marathon runner, you're looking at 4.5 hours for a 6-foot, even though it's only 3Ks further. So if that gives you an idea of the terrain and the technicality of it, and the river crossing, it's quite an event. It's a hell of an event.
It's good fun. So we're just going to talk ultras. What do you do? How do you prepare? What do you not do? If there's aid stations, do you take stuff? Do you not? How do you prepare for that shit?
Yeah.
And I guess what's coming up here, right?
Yeah, there is. Yeah, we're coming into that season, I suppose. So in Australia, we've got in New South Wales at least, we have the 6-foot. And then shortly after that, UTA, which is the big dog. So whether it's the 22-kilometre, 50-kilometre or 100-kilometre. So I've signed up for the 100-kilometre. I've signed up for 12 hours of punishment. Are you doing that, Mike?
No, I missed out on tickets. But I'll probably snap up a ticket for the 22 the week beforehand and drive up on the day, run it, and drive back.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, so I guess for you, you're really training up for 6-foot. I guess I am too, but I'm using that as a stepping stone to then get to UTA 100, which is a true goal for me.
Yeah, so
we're doing the same stuff. We've also both got a half Ironman in 3 weeks, but that's a separate episode.
That's just a minor detail.
So we've both got the same events coming up. So I'm doing a bit of swimming and not as much bike riding as I should, but I'm pumping the trail running at the moment. I know you're doing a bit of cycling, a bit of trails, and so we're both kind of doing the same thing at the moment.
It's hard to combine them though. Like to do enough trails plus enough cycling and enough swimming and then enough road running, it's like, yeah, fuck that. Just go trail running.
Well, you're spreading yourself too thin and you're not going to have 100% success at either if you spread yourself that thin.
So. Yeah, exactly. That's why the half Ironman's just
going to
be for fun.
Yeah, yeah. So I've developed a really unique training strategy for the half Ironman, which I just do 6-hour trail runs. That's why I'm training for it. What can go wrong? No bike riding. So we're just going to chat trail stuff. Like, what do we do? How are we approaching it? Like, sure, you need to do long runs, but what else do you do, right? So
yeah,
I think how do you structure your week, Mike? Like, do you structure your week or do you not? Like, what are you doing?
Not super structured. Like, and it's hard for us to get out to the trails every weekend because it's too far. It's basically a whole day, right? You're not just popping up, running for a couple of hours, going home, and you're not home by midday. So I'll try to get to the mountains every third week or so. It's a 2-hour drive, hour and a half, something like that. And I'll probably run more time-based than I would distance-based. I'll just go for, let's say, today is going to be a 3-hour run. And depending on the train, it can be 35 kilometers or 20. Yeah. So it's more time on feet-based rather than distance based. Yeah. And then in the week it's just going to be road running. If I can pick a trail here and there that's close, that's short, I'll add it in, but it's just going to be road stuff. And then adding in your hill and stair stuff.
Yeah. Okay. And how are you fitting cross training and strength into that?
Gym twice a week, whenever I can fit in. I teach a gym class. Normally, I just combine that. I'll teach the class and then train.
Yeah.
And then cycling, I'm probably riding once a week.
Mm.
So probably 3 runs, a cycle, a swim, and 2 strength sessions.
Cool. Okay. And how does your body respond to all that? Because that in itself, like, that's a lot. Like, how are you holding up?
Better than just running, to be honest. With my Achilles history, it's my body's just like, oh yeah, loving this other stuff and offloading the body and just doing a little bit of extra. And I find that the cycling actually helps the trail running, as in I've been cycling a lot of hills, which translates quite well into running hills.
Oh, big time. Yeah, definitely. Where'd you go? I just lost you for a second.
I don't know. I just disappeared. I don't know what happened.
You said the word cycling and the screen just went black. Yeah, okay, that's good. I think there is a lot of crossover. Obviously, cycling, you're just powering through your quads and glutes a lot of the time. And it's those big pushes on the bike, and you're building that muscular endurance without the impact, I suppose. So you can really work hard through those muscles, but you won't necessarily be sore after it.
Yeah, exactly.
I've noticed in previous years when I have done cycling, or actually vice versa, actually, when I've done lots of trail running, I've then jumped on the bike and gone, oh, well, like, I feel like I've got a bit more, like, I can push a bit harder through these muscles, a bit more power.
Mm.
It is quite a nice crossover. So I've kind of noticed the same thing in the opposite direction. Cool. So when you do your gym, are you doing, so you said you teach a class and then you work out after that.
Yeah.
Do you train solo? Do you train in a class, or what do you do?
Just solo. Just time wise, that works better for me. Yeah. I find solo training, you can be more specific than rather a random class.
Yeah.
Because in a class, you just do whatever, right? I know I need to focus on my calves. I know I need to work glutes and hammies and quads and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I can just go, I'm going to do these exercises, and it's a bit more time efficient.
Yeah.
So I'm maybe in the gym half an hour for a session.
Okay, that's pretty good.
A bit of a combination of everything. And with the trails, it doesn't matter. It's you're out there for a good time, you're out there for a long time, and pace goes out the window because it can't really pace it properly.
Yeah.
And then you just have fun.
That's it, right? That's why we do it, to actually
Is it very different for you in regards to your training? Because I know you're a bit more, we'll see what happens.
But yeah, that's a very good way to describe my training plan. Oh yeah, whatever. Like that's it. Like that's literally me. But I do that, and that probably comes down to the reason that I run. The reason I run is I just love it. I love the feeling of running. I love exploring new areas, new trails. I love being in nature, and I love running with mates. So that's my deep motivation for running. That's kind of why I do it. I don't do it to get 100% out of my body. I don't do it to set records or whatever. That's a very nice byproduct of running? Like, is it you can get faster, you can get fitter, you can do well in a race or whatever, but that's not the pure motivation. So for that reason, I don't have a strict schedule. I have a vague program, like schedule in my mind, but it's not strict, because for me, if something pops up like, hey, me and my mates are going to run 10K Wednesday morning, like, sweet, I'll do that. And I like having the flexibility to be able to jump in and do that. During the week, I just do what I can, which will always go to the gym Tuesday at lunch and Thursday morning. That's just locked in. Every Friday morning, I have a swim and a run. Like, that's just locked in. It doesn't matter what else happens. That happens. That's a guaranteed. And if Wednesday, if I can do something, I do. If not, Wednesday's often a rest day. Saturday, I might do my hill repeats, but Sunday, I've pretty much locked in as a long run. Getting to the mountains, getting to the trails, and I've training for this UTA 100. That's the main thing. That's in terms of the schedule. That's all I have. Every Sunday, I go to the trails and I run and I run.
I think that's super important for a race like this to get. Yeah. Like, if you have the opportunity to get there and run the course and run the course again and again and again, so you know what's happening on race day.
Yep. I actually find it much easier to do a long run if you've like driven somewhere purposely for it. If I'm just running around my local area, local neighborhood, it's really hard to do a 4.5 hour run just around the hood. But if you've driven somewhere, you've made a day of it, you're in the mountains, I find that so much more easier just to run for hours and hours and hours. And I don't know if that's just like a mindset shift or whatever it is, or because it's trails, so I am running slow. I don't know what that is, but I love getting out there, and I've just said to myself, I'm going to do a big long trail run every week. So that's my thing. And knowing that I will just push that as far as my body allows me to do it, and I'm quite responsive to my symptoms like that. So if I feel good, I'll do a big long run. If I feel a bit shitty, I'll just take the week off, or like I'll miss the long run, or I won't do my Wednesday session or whatever it might be.
So
whilst to a lot of people it comes across as just super vague and like, how is he training properly? He's not even got a schedule or whatever. I am very vague with the knowledge deeper down that I know what I'm kind of doing, and I do have a bit of a structure in my head of I should be doing this week on week on week, but also being super responsive to how my body feels. And I can do that because I've got the experience and knowledge, and that's what I try and get everyone to the point where they can self-manage like that. So I was having a chat with someone earlier today, like, Pat, would you get a training program? Like, do you want that? Have you ever done it? Have you ever stuck to one? And my answer is no, I've never had a training program. I never want one, unless that might change in the future. But having a strict, rigid structure takes away for me a lot of why I run, which is the opportunistic, oh, hey, let's go and do 10K, or let's go and do that. Or maybe I do feel like it, maybe I don't feel like it. And that takes that away. And if there's pressure on me to do a run or do a session, I don't like that. Instantly, that gives me the heebie-jeebies. I just not a fan of having that structure there.
Yeah, right.
So that's kind of me. One thing I'm really, really prioritizing is the strength at this point. So we did, like we said at the start of this chat, we did that mountain run on Sunday. And, like, man, I flew up those hills and felt good and strong. And I was running with some mates who were, you know, very similar fitness to me, would probably have me on a flat road run. But, yeah, just dropped them on the hills. I just skipped up the hills and they were slogging it out. And I do believe that's a lot of the strength I've been doing. And then on the downhills, I was able just to fly downhill and my body felt great. And I tolerated it. I copped it. It was great. So
right.
I'm pumping the strength, man. Like, glutes are good, hammies are good, quads are good. So my Strava kilometers aren't as high as some other trail runners, but I'm probably stronger than them. And that, I reckon that's doing so well.
Sweet. All right, so trail running, ultra running, tips and tricks.
Go to the gym.
Do strength training, yes. Tick, definitely.
Be willing to be a bit sore after that. I don't really start runs feeling 100% fresh and amazing. I start runs going, oh, my hammies, they're tight from the gym. Like, but that's fine. You've just got to be willing to have that little bit of uncomfortableness, that DOMS, right? Like, I think that scares off a lot of runners, but you can run well with DOMS.
Absolutely. So, having DOMS is no excuse not to run.
No. If you don't have DOMS, you should train harder. So I think that's definitely just think of long runs as an opportunity for time on feet. Like, when you're running along like that, it's about conditioning your body just to run for 3, 4, 5, 6 hours, just that conditioning. Doesn't matter if it's a 4-minute pace or 7-minute pace or 10-minute pace. You just want to get those hours on legs, time on legs. I think that's absolutely crucial. If you get time on legs and if you're strong, you can do a lot.
Yeah, absolutely.
And practice your swimming in case there's a neck-deep river crossing.
If that happens.
What about you, Mike? What's your wisdom? Give me something.
Back-to-back long runs if you're struggling for time.
Really? Okay.
Instead of going like, I'm going to run for 6 hours, run 3 hours on Saturday, run 2 hours on Sunday.
Okay.
Like learning to run on tired legs, basically.
Yeah.
I think that's a big one.
So when we interviewed Michaela, who did Coast to Cozzy like a few weeks back, that was her strategy. She never really ran more than like 40K, I think, didn't she say? Even training for a 250-kilometer race, she never ran more than like a marathon. But she'd run like 6 or 7 days a week and back up, back up, back up. Whereas I'm the opposite. I'll do the 7-hour run and then have the next day off. And I think, I don't know if there's any better or worse. I think part of that is what suits you and what do you like, what do you have time for?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think a lot of people, like if you're short on time, that's a good option.
Yeah.
And if your body can handle it, do the long stuff.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, like, if you have the opportunity, run on similar terrain that you're going to tackle on race day.
Yeah.
If you're doing a buttload of hills that are really long, really steep, you need to get your head around that and prepare for that.
Yeah.
Just because otherwise you get to race day and you'll just suffer.
I just wanted to touch on gear because I think I saw a chat post discussion thing on Facebook. I sound like an old man. I don't know what they're called. On Facebook, where people were commenting about, should I get some like just cheap, regular hiking poles or should I get the really expensive, lightweight trail run one? And it did.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw that post.
Yeah, I don't know where that was, but I saw it. And it was just an interesting discussion. What I'm pleased to see is that probably 90% of people were like, now get these good, you know, buy the expensive ones, get the good ones because they make a big difference. And I think it really does. If you're doing a long run out there, often there's like mandatory gear for a race, or if not, like you're out there for hours anyway. So you want to be carrying lightweight stuff. But having good gear, I think, is a huge difference. So I've had a few different packs over the years, a few different bits and bobs, and I've got to the point where I've purchased a very good, expensive pack, which makes the world of difference. You even forget it's on your back when you're running. I've had a shitty pack in the past and it's so I think it's something that's worthwhile. If you're getting into trail running, you've probably got to drop about $1,000 in the first instance to get the gear. Like buy the shoes, buy the bag, buy the poles, buy the water hydration system to go in your pack. And it's probably $1,000. But I dropped all that money like 3 years ago and I haven't had to replace anything.
Well, that's the thing. If you have the right gear, it makes the experience a whole lot better.
Yeah.
And if you buy good gear, you'll have good gear for a very long time.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. If you're doing a one-off, just borrow some from a mate. But then you'll really quickly realize that you get hooked and then you'll have to buy your own.
Like the other thing with ultras is it's a long way. Don't kill yourself in the first 20 kilometers.
Is that from experience, Mike, or
maybe like don't run a half marathon PB and an ultra, like it's just not worth it.
I sort of agree. If you're new to this stuff or you're unsure about the distance, whatever, then obviously go conservative.
Yeah,
but I'm doing the opposite of ETA. I'm gonna redline the first half and just hang on for dear life.
Yeah, well, that's also from your experience, and it's also a bit of an experiment to see what happens in the second half, right?
Yeah, it's almost out of curiosity. Like, I'll either you know do fairly well, or I'll blow up and I'll walk in crossing the finish line crying.
And yeah, exactly.
And both will be kind of satisfying, and I can't wait to see what happens.
Yeah, but like, you don't want your first ultra to be like that.
No, it's a good point. And when you're running a long distance all day, then you should try and keep it. I'm not a fan of sticking to a certain heart rate, sticking to a certain power output. Like,
no.
I'm not a fan of anything rigid like that. What I really like is more how it feels in terms of can you talk and chat. So for an ultra, if you're running all day, say you're doing a 50K, when you're on the flats, you should be able to pretty comfortably just talk, like literally just have a conversation whilst you're running. You can be running that slow that you can just chat to someone. Obviously, uphill, you'll be a bit out of breath because it's harder. But I think if you're running on the flat and you're 20K in and you cannot talk to someone, you really have to slow down.
Yeah.
Because you'll blow yourself out.
Absolutely. I 100% agree. And the other thing I just thought of is something that people tend to forget, but downhill running is almost harder than uphill running, and you need to practice that shit.
Yes, there's a crossover point. I think it's, I might get this wrong, I think it's 20% gradient, where if you're, say you're running downhill 5% gradient, it's easy, like it's really easy.
Yeah.
It's easier than running flat, and you're not too much toll on your body, and it's pretty sweet. But there is a crossover where it gets to a certain steepness, is that the word, certain gradient. Might be 20%, maybe I got that wrong, but where it's actually harder and costs more energy.
Mm.
So that might be what you're referring to, I guess. So just careful on those.
Yeah, because a lot of people tend to flog themselves on those steep downhills and then get to the bottom and go, I'm cooked.
Yeah. So what is your strategy there? Because you do get hills that are quite steep going down. This is really interesting. You can do one of two things. You can literally fly down the hill at what we call suicide pace and just let gravity pull you.
Yeah.
Or you can like go a bit more conservative and actually like go really slow down and like push back against the hill and like kind of putting the brakes on with every step to slow yourself down. So
yeah.
How do you navigate that, Mark?
It depends on the gradient. If it's really steep, I'll put the brakes on.
Yeah.
And I'll, if I, as soon as I can, I'll let gravity take me. Because I know it's energy-wise more efficient.
Yeah.
But if it's too steep, I'm putting the brakes on and I try to alternate leading with the left, leading with the right.
Yeah.
And just like get through it and hopefully the quads aren't too cooked and the hammies aren't too cooked when I get to the bottom.
Yeah. 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 So what I do is, first of all, in the gym, I do decline squats.
Yeah,
I do squats lifting my heels up a little bit. So I put a little weight plate under my heels, lift them up. So when you do a squat in that position, it works your quads so much harder. So I do a lot of them specifically for downhill trail running, and I get a lot of my patients to do that as well. So that when you do get to a downhill, you've got the confidence knowing that your quads are strong. So my strategy kind of is just to fly downhill. And then I know when I hit the bottom of the hill, sure, my heart rate will be a bit higher and I'll be a bit out of breath going, oof, that was like, I just worked hard then. But, you know, I'll be 400 meters ahead of the person who went slowly. And for me, that's a fair trade-off.
It's also fun.
It's so much fun. When I ran past you for the second time of the weekend, I couldn't even say hello. I was doing like 4-minute pace downhill.
Yeah, I was trying to climb up that fucker.
Yeah. You were doing 15-minute pace uphill and I was doing 4-minute pace downhill.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think if you're prepared and experienced, you can do that. But otherwise, if you don't, you do risk like just blowing out your quads. You get to the bottom of the hill and then you try and climb up it and you'll be like, oh, I'm exhausted, I have nothing left. So
yeah.
if that's more the kind of the risk, I suppose, then yeah, just go slow. Just put the brakes on. Take it easy. Especially if you're in the first half of the race.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anything else?
Drink salt. Have a lot of salt. Cramps get people in long distance runs. That's the other thing. We've talked to the Precision Hydration guys a couple of times and Shane from Ready Sweat Go. And since interacting with those guys, I've taken on so much more salt and I haven't had a cramp since. I've had a cramp doing ocean swimming after a long run, but I think that's a separate issue.
I think so.
But yeah, that's something I've really learned in the last 6 months myself is the importance of salt, and that's been huge for me. I haven't cramped running since.
And just salt and just general electrolytes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But strong stuff, not just have a sip of Powerade, so I won't do much.
No. Just I've been drinking so much more on my long runs.
I've been drinking after my long runs, like on the beer.
Yeah,
it's been great. So yeah, well, I think that's kind of what I wanted to touch on today, because it's, you know, it's what me and Mike are doing. A lot of ultras coming up. Been on doing them. Shout out. Yeah. Otherwise, we'll keep getting in your ears and talking more shit. Hey, are we up to 100 episodes yet?
Nah, not yet. I had some technical issues. I need to upload the other two that we've recorded as soon as I get them off my phone. but that's tonight's job.
Right. Yeah, worry about that tonight. We've still got a plan going for the 100th episode, I think. Oh, boy.
Yeah, we'll throw a party.
Yeah. Fuck yeah. All right, bros. Thanks for that. We'll chat next time.
All right, sweet.